Welcome to Hell, California, the podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host and narrator, Mike Brennan. Hell, California is an anthology crime show. Each episode is an intriguing, original tale of hard-boiled crime fiction. Noir stories all set in the same mysterious, mythical California border town. It was developed by a team of six writers who came together in March of 2020, working virtually during the pandemic. The following story contains depictions of graphic violence, profanity, and content of a highly sexual nature. This podcast is only intended for mature audiences. Hell.exe, Part 1.
Written by Christian Martin. It is night on the street. White wall tires tear across wet asphalt, convertible all curves and chrome. This world is black and white. Driving is the detective, but his features are obscured by the brim of his trilby. Convertible slides around a corner, racing through a larger-than-life 1940s city. Outside the warehouse, the detective smashes through an iron gate. Outside the warehouse loading dock, the convertible skids to a halt in front of four thugs. They drop their contraband and move to surround. The detective steps out. Polished shoes, long coat, crisp tie. We finally see his face. 26, Latino, thin, not your average private eye hero.
How'd you know?
There aren't many criminals in this city that leave size 14 footprints.
Clever. You might have found us, but they ain't gonna never find you.
The thugs attack, but the detective moves like a champ, bobbing, weaving. When each jab connects, there's a burst of color in this grayscale world. Once the thugs are all on the floor, the detective grabs the big thug by his collar.
Where is she?
The big thug points to a crate. The detective rips off the top of the large box, reaches in, and lifts out a blonde bombshell in a sequin dress.
Detective, oh, I knew you'd find me.
Let's get you out of here.
He lowers her into his convertible. They take off. Distant thuds under the music.
Did you hear that?
Just the beating of my heart.
It is definitely not a heartbeat. The detective realizes what it is.
Oh, shit.
What's wrong, stud?
The world freezes in place. Everything but the detective. A floating window appears in front of him. A pause menu. The detective reaches up as if to remove a helmet that isn't there and disappears. We back out, ascending past the flickering neon sign for Ned's and over rooftops until we see a grand cityscape, which shifts from black and white to color, from the idealized past to the gritty present. This is Hell, California. We zoom in, descending, below the rooftops, past the flickering neon sign for the den, into a strip mall. There's a large man banging on the door of the den. It's a VR arcade. The door flies open, revealing Javi Castillo, same face as the detective, but none of the style or confidence. Instead, slouchy and wreathed in dark anxiety.
Yo, I've been out here knocking for 10 minutes. You're open, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. I was on lunch.
At 7:30? Sure. Yo, I want to play, man.
Of course.
I better get a discount for waiting.
I can do that.
The big customer pushes inside. Later, virtual reality terminals line the walls. It's lit by LED strips. Only one is in use by the big customer. A screen shows the black and white NAR world, the detective mirroring the big customer's movements. Past the terminals, Javi sits at the front desk, staring intensely into the light of a monitor. The screen shows photos of an airport, a giant blue horse statue, a painting of a soldier stabbing a sword into a flying dove. Javi clicks through, eyes flitting, until his phone rings. He sees the caller and hesitates.
Hello?
Javi, thank God.
What's going on?
I need you. Can you come tomorrow?
I don't know. After the last time?
Javi, please. This is an emergency.
Okay, I can do it.
Thank you. See me at the usual time.
Javi lays his head to the desk and groans. A solid thud from the back.
Yo?
The big customer in the VR terminal jukes side to side. He throws an elbow that punches a hole in the wall.
Yo!
Later, Javi's apartment. Javi enters the messy efficiency, frazzled. In the ashtray on his coffee table, he finds the tiniest nib of the edge of a joint, but it crumbles between his fingers.
Of course.
He drops onto the bed in his bedroom and stares at the ceiling, exhausted but unable to relax. Then a smile as he gets an idea. He messes with his phone and a video plays. A woman wearing a sexy Japanese schoolgirl uniform with pigtails leans in.
In trouble sleeping?
She starts waving her hands close in front of the camera in odd hypnotic patterns.
Don't worry, senpai. I'll take care of you. Close your eyes.
Javi finally closes his eyes. The next morning, Javi sits in the driver's seat of his junker car, eyes closed, on the edge of hyperventilating. He takes a deep breath.
You can do this, Javi. Stay strong. They smell weakness.
He smacks his cheeks before exiting, and then strides bravely past the sign for Hell High School. Outside, teenagers eye Javi as he passes. He immediately comes to a group of jocks, all wearing red and black Devil's Letterman jacket. He smiles, confidence cracking, and walks around them. He passes a dark corner where three girls aggressively make out with each other. Javi pretends not to notice. He passes doors to one of the buildings blocked by police caution tape. Two students pose in front for a selfie.
Hell?
Inside the front office, Javi enters, rubbing his eyes as he approaches the front desk. The receptionist whips her attention to Javi.
What do you need?
Hello. I'm Javier Castello. Substitute Miss Colburn called me in.
You're late. She's waiting for you in her office.
Thanks.
Javi finds Miss Colburn in her office. She's the principal of Hell High, sincere and high-strung, talking to a schlubby cop.
Javi, finally! Thank goodness. This is Sheriff Mattingly.
Nice to meet you.
What happened? I saw the caution tape.
There was a murder last night.
What?
Yes, we found Mr. Kerr in his classroom.
Stabbed. In the neck. Pencil right through the carotid artery.
Oh my God.
That's why I called you so suddenly last night. We need you to cover Mr. Kerr's class.
Why is the school even open? Shouldn't you close down for an investigation?
Normally we would, absolutely. But today is the first day of state testing.
Can't mess with state testing. Even I know that.
But don't worry. Mr. Kerr's class isn't testing until tomorrow. I just need you to keep an eye on them.
A close eye. If you notice anything suspicious, let us know.
Just in case, of course. More than anything, I need you to be empathetic. Those children are going through a lot right now. It's important to give them room to grieve.
Shortly after, inside the classroom.
Hey, hey, guys, who am I?
Corden, tall and sassy with a swoopy fringe, pretends to have a pencil stuck in his neck. He flops onto a desk and twitches.
Yo, can you not?
Corden drops the pencil and stands up.
Can you not?
Not what?
Exactly.
Corden turns his back on Javi like a badass.
Millennials, right?
His friends, Ariel and Ez, chuckle. Ariel is stocky and cocky with long braids. Ez is a small and scrappy with a buzzed head.
All right, everyone. As you know...
A hand shoots up.
Yes?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Bruno, on the spectrum, a short kid with keen eyes.
Not right now. As you know, due to unfortunate circumstances, I got called in last minute, so there's no lesson prepared. I'm thinking there has to be some videos we can watch to pass the time, just to take it easy today. Let me know if you need anything. The counselor is available, you know, if you're having a hard time.
Javi searches the drawers of the teacher's desk and finds two DVDs. The first is a copy of Minions. The second is titled Sex and Abstinence for Youths. Later, the lights are out as Minions plays. Kids huddle in groups throughout the room, none of them watching. Javi sits bored behind the desk. He walks over to a window. He turns and starts finding Bruno and a friend real close behind him. Bruno's friend is Dylan, self-assured but jittery.
Hello. What are your names again?
I'm Dylan. He's Bruno. We need to go to the bathroom.
At the same time?
Yes.
Just don't take long.
They quickly leave. It's a girl in the corner, quietly crying, alone.
Hey, it'll be okay. They're gonna find whoever did that to Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Kerr was a douche.
You're not crying about him?
She shakes her head.
Then what's wrong?
Nobody will duet with me on TikTok. Do you think the Oracle could help?
I wouldn't count on it.
Javi backs away. He sees Ez, Ariel, and Corden chatting about something.
Told you it'd be easy. We're in and they've got no idea.
Then it's time to run a test.
What are you guys talking about?
The kids exchange looks.
A video game.
Ez and Ariel smirk at that.
Oh, cool. I play games. Which one?
You wouldn't know it. It's not a Harry Potter game.
What?
Hey, what house are you? I'm guessing Hufflepuff.
I get it. A millennial joke. Nice. Any other sick burns you've been workshopping in the group chat?
The kids look at each other.
Guess not. Remember, kid, I've already done all this. I deal with real problems in the real world, and it takes a lot more than you rude teenagers to hurt my feelings. Come at me when you get your own phone Mom didn't buy you.
Ariel's eyes go hard. Javi walks back to his desk and sits. Later in the afternoon, outside Hell High, Javi leaves at the end of the day, impatient teenagers whizzing past as he drags his feet. In his car, Javi drops into the driver's seat of his junker. He twists the key. Engine doesn't turn over. He tries again, and the engine starts.
Need caffeine.
Freed's hobby drives through the south side of hell, passes a banner announcing the Founders Day celebration coming up soon. He drives into Founders Square. It's a park in front of the old mission, surrounded by shops and restaurants. A large stage is halfway through construction on the park lawn. Outside of Angelica's, Javi's car pulls into the lot. It's an indie rockabilly cafe diner. The facade is painted in patterns of red, white, and green. A sign in the front says, free Wi-Fi. A woman is exiting just as he approaches the door. When they see each other, they both pause. She's Estrella, Javi's ex, trans, edgy, and eternally tired.
Hey, Javi.
Hi.
Javi considers what to say. He comes up blank. Estrella heads for her car.
See you around.
Yeah.
Javi goes in, approaches the counter. The place is chill. A few patrons sit in corners on laptops. A mural of the Virgin Mary done in drippy spray paint covers one wall. Tattooed hands smack down in front of Javi. They belong to Angelica herself. Eyes equal parts savvy and kind. Hair equal parts black and pink.
Hey, Angelica.
Hey, on the way. What can I get you?
Red eye, please. Iced.
Another day at the school? After that one kid barfed on you? Thought you weren't going back.
Need the money.
I feel ya. Want anything else?
Mole burrito? Ooh, and a slice of tres leches if you have it.
Papi, mole burrito. Especial por mi amigo.
And Helica turns back to Javi.
Any news about that treasure hole? When you said people have been trying to dig out forever?
The money pit on Oak Island? I don't follow that much anymore.
What's the new obsession then?
Ever been to Denver Airport?
I don't think so.
They say it was built above a secret New World Order base.
Oh shit! Why?
It's covered in occult imagery, and there's a 30-foot statue of a demonic blue horse in the front. Yeah, it's called Lucifer. Creepy as fuck and cursed. Part of it actually fell off during construction in 2006 and killed its creator.
No way.
And that's just the start. Inside the airport, there are these weird murals.
Later, Javi sits at a table in the back and puts down his coffee, takes out his laptop. After turning on, a notice pops up from the bottom of the screen, automatically connected to Angelica's free Wi-Fi. His cup is full of coffee. Then it's half full. Then it's empty. He reaches the bottom of his drink. Javi gets up to place his glass on the counter. On the way back, he sees three familiar faces, Ariel, Ez, and Courtney, in a booth, using heavily stickered laptops. He gives them a chin nod as if to say, "Sup?" Ariel rolls her eyes. Unsurprised, Javi returns to his table. Almost immediately, a small window appears on his screen. It reads, "Attention, operating system update." Javi's pointer slides and clicks the update button. Back at his apartment at night, on the TV screen, 20-something YouTubers with perfect teeth look straight at the camera.
Hey guys, it's me again. Welcome to the channel. In today's episode of Interweb Investigations, we're going to talk about crystal skulls.
But Javi's barely paying attention. He's on his phone. On the screen, he searches for Elite Custom PS5 Controller. The results are a collection of colorful, high-quality video game controllers, prices starting at $150.
You're probably thinking, I already know all about skulls. But you're wrong.
I work tomorrow at the Den, but I can sub again Thursday if you need me.
What if I told you there was a skull discovered 50 years ago that you never heard of.
To ensure the safety of our students, we will no longer be employing you.
On the screen, Javi types a text to Principal Coburn.
What? Did I do something wrong?
Principal Coburn simply replies with a link. Javi opens it to find screenshots of his own search history.
Oh no.
He scrolls through, seeing many average but still embarrassing porn terms, and of course, sexy schoolgirl ASMR. The cherry on top is a bad picture of him mid-blink with several voluptuous anime schoolgirls photoshopped around him. The text below reads, "You really want this weirdo teaching your kids?"
You're no longer allowed at Hell High School. If I see you within 100 feet of the campus, I will call the police.
He drops his phone and buries his face in his hands.
Next time on Hell, California.
This is the Hell Police Department. How can I help you?
Hi, my name is Javier Castello. I'm calling to report that I've been hacked. My entire search history was posted online.
Wait, I know you. You're that sub, right? The one whose shit got leaked?
Was any other sensitive personal information revealed? Social security number, bank account details, your home address?
Use two-factor authentication, run anti-malware software, turn firewalls on, and use a VPN.
That's why I know you, Javier Castello, canceled substitute teacher.
Are you referring to child pornography?
No.
But when the sharks smell blood, death by a thousand means.
Follow Hell California on @HellCalifornia on Twitter. And Hell, California, an anthology crime show, on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hell, California, an anthology crime show, for watch party live reading events of each episode recording. For further inquiries or requests to be added to our mailing list, email us at hellcaliforniaseries@gmail.com. Hell, California is powered by Zoom Catchers. Zoom Catchers provides virtual events through video conferencing platforms. They relieve hosting and planning responsibilities from businesses and individuals to give them the power to focus on forming meaningful connections with their communities. Please consult their website at zoomcatchers.us. Thanks to our actors and performers. Hell California, the podcast, is produced by Christian Elder. It is co-produced by Jeremy Foley and Sarah O'Reilly, and sound engineered by Raleigh Tomasi. This podcast was recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement. Please come and join us again. This is your host and narrator, Mike Brennan, saying, I'll see you in hell.